Translation. Although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes, which are so great that simply chanting about them vanquishes the contaminations of the material world. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, however, enjoyed these pastimes fully, and therefore their position is always better than that of Vasudev and Devaki. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Krishna actually took birth from the womb of Devaki, but just after his birth, he was transferred to the home of Mother Yashoda. Devaki could not even have Krishna suck her breast. Therefore, Parikrit Maharaj was astonished. How had Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj become so fortunate that they enjoyed the complete childhood pastimes of Krishna, which are still glorified by saintly persons? What had they done in the past by which they were elevated to such an exalted position? Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Meditanjena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Tadati Sva Pradantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Stra Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakavitam Stra Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Aripriya Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sanubhyavacha Padita Naam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasari Guru Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So what fortune, yeah, for Devaki and Vasudev and Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. So we can understand it's with great, great austerities that they have this position to be Krishna's mother and father, both Devaki, Vasudev, Nanda Maharaj, and Yashoda. So it is explained in the 10th canto, 10.8, part 3, the birth of Lord Krishna. It explains there that due to severe austerities, Devaki has become the mother of Krishna, although it's Nitya Lila, eternal pastimes. Krishna already designates his parents before he comes, before he descends. So Devaki and Vasudev previously, this is the third time, they playing the part of mother and father to Krishna. Previously, they were Prisni, and who was it? Sutapa and Prisni. And then Krishna there was called Prishni Garbha. Garbha means one who takes birth in the womb of the Prishni. And then their next birth was Aditi and Kasyapa. And there they begot Krishna as the son again, as Upendra. Another name was Upendra because he was small, he was dwarf-like. He was called Vamana. And then now for the third time, they come as Vasudev and Devaki, and they actually get Krishna as the son. But Krishna actually assumes his Vishnu form when he appears. There's two reasons here it's explained. Prabhupada gives an explanation in the purport in 10.3 from the birth of Lord Krishna. He explains that one of the reasons Krishna showed his Vishnu form, because Devaki, she might not believe that, because Krishna is an ordinary child, he's two-armed form, she was anxious that she might not believe that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was Krishna. That was saved for Mother Yashoda. So, and the second thing was, Devaki was also anxious at the same time, and Prabhupada explains the amazing pastime between the Supreme Lord and the devotees, the rasa. So Devaki was also anxious, and what was she was anxious about the Supreme Lord coming in his Vishnu form, four-armed form, and also Vasudev was astonished as well. And because they were very attached to Krishna, they wanted to hide him away from Kamsa. And this was the time Vasudev was prepared to lie. But then he was thinking, it's very difficult to hide a child with four arms, four-armed form, you know, with club, disc, lotus, you know, conch shell. So she was thinking, if this child is in a Vishnu form, then people are not going to believe it. They're not going to believe he's my child. And they're going to ridicule me, you know. Why are you pretending this is your child, you know, this is four-armed form? Because they're used to their two arms, you know, normal. So, and Krishna was thinking of this as well. He didn't want to have his devotees be ridiculed. So then she started a prayer. She was praying to the Supreme Lord. There's a whole lot of prayers that go. And she was pleading with the Lord to come back to the two-armed form where she could relate to him. And actually, it was strange. She knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, she was fearing that Kamsa would kill Krishna in his Vishnu form. So, and she was pleading, please come to your two-armed form, so then I know you are safe, you know, safe from the hands of Kamsa. So, and then you know the whole story after that, where Krishna was transferred to the home of Yashoda. Now, prior to that, they... 1 minute. Yeah. Let me read this. Please bear with me because my mind is not functioning now. Although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's childhood pastimes, which are so great that simply chanting about them vanquishes the contamination of the material world. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, however, enjoyed these pastimes fully, and therefore their position is always better than that of Vasudeva. So we know why Krishna descends. We'll get there. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, 6. Krishna explaining, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata adbhutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So Prabhupada gives a whole list of the reasons actually Krishna's appearing is multifarious. He satisfies his devotee for their desires. He kills the demons for their protection. And also, he fulfills Lord Brahma's benedictions that Lord Brahma gives. And then the next one, 4.7 and 4.8, it is. So we just spoke to Paritranaya Sadhanam, Vinasayant Chajiskritam, Dharma Samstapane Nateya, Sambhavami, Yuge Yuge, to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. There's another one I would like to read. Krishna says, Machita madgata prana bodhyanta parasparam katyantascha mam nityam tasyanticha ramanticham. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another on conversing about me. So in this translation, it's explained here that the chanting about Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastime, which is so great that simply chanting about them vanquishes the contamination of the material world. So this old Bhagavatam, all the stories, any books that we read, is the glorification of the Supreme Lord. And the only way, it's explained, the only way is to chant the glories of the holy name and to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the way to purify our existence. As Lord Chaitanya says, Chaito Darpanam Marjanam Bhava Mahadevagni Nirvapanam. This material world, material existence, is like a blazing fire. And to put this fire out, the Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy name, is the only way for purification. So we're listening every day, we're listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, and Vyasadeva was dissatisfied, and Narada Muni enlightened him about why he's dissatisfied, because he didn't write down all the glory, Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of the Supreme Lord. So in this way, we have everything here. But Prishni and Kasyapa and Satapa, when they took their birth then, in the 10th canto, 8.3, Prabhupada explains that although they wanted Krishna so much for their own purpose, as their son, they were meditating on Krishna so sincerely. At the same time, they wanted a husband and wife relationship. They wanted a conjugal relationship as husband and wife, even though deeply they wanted Krishna as their son. So hence, Devaki didn't get the same position as Yashoda, Mother Yashoda. She had, although she performed so much austerity, Devaki and Prishni at that time and Sitapa, they performed a lot of austerities to become Krishna's mother and father. So Krishna is speaking here in the canto 10, part 3. He says, my dear father and mother, you endured rain, wind, strong sun, scorching heat, and severe cold, suffering all kinds of inconvenience according to different seasons. By practicing pranayama to control the air within the body through yoga, and by eating only air and dry leaves fallen from the trees, you cleansed from your minds all the dirty things. In this way, desiring a benediction from me, you worship me with peaceful minds. So in this purport, Prabhupada explains that rather than looking at what Devikin Vasudev in the previous birth, what of austerities they perform and what they went through, then we have to look at the example they're setting, basically, on how we should live our life today. And Prabhupada explains that in those days, the austerities were much greater, and this was in the age of Treta Yoga when they were performing all these austerities. And Prabhupada explains that in Kali Yuga, our life is very, very easy, very simple. And I know we were in the early days in Krishna consciousness, they said 50 rounds before you perform, before you conceive a child. And compared to this, this is nothing, you know. So Prabhupada says, so in order not to create Vana Shankara children, in order to create Krishna conscious children, whereby they can spread the message of Krishna consciousness and help the world from the suffering condition, then we have to practice, at least practice what is ordained for us in Kali Yuga, rather than reading about the austerities. 12,000 years, they performed the austerities for 12,000 years as Prishni and Sitapa. So it's a long time, 12,000 years is a long time, but not in celestial years. So Krishna performed many, many pastimes. He's pleasing. Why is pleasing? Because whenever devotees perform any austerities, or they glorify him, they chant his names, then he's very pleased and he reciprocates. He says, as you surrender, I reward accordingly. So he gives us the chance to go back home, back to Godhead. Okay, Krishna is magnanimous. He's not an ordinary child. So as the baby, he steals. He does all kinds of naughty things. He urinates in people's houses. He goes, he steals the butter. He breaks the pots. He does all sorts of things. But then he's glorified for it. We worship him for that. But think in these days, like today, when a child is naughty like that, he goes to the neighbor's house and he breaks their pots, or he steals from them from their house. They would be very annoyed. They'll report to the council. They would try to get you out. They would do all sorts of things. But Krishna, his activity is completely transcendental. And then as a boy, as a youth, he's done things that in today's Kali Yuga, it would be most abominable. He can call the gopis and tell them, undress, I want to see you naked. That's Krishna. And he's glorified for that. And he could call gopis, other men's wives at night, come and meet me here at a certain time, midnight. And they would go. They would be drawn. Can men do that today? No, they would be ridiculed. It would be a shame. They say for a man honored, dishonor is worse than death. So Krishna does these things, and yet he is glorified. He's worshipped for it. And then actually as a, even as a householder, he provides. He provided 16,108 palaces for each one of his wife. Even Narada Muni was astonished. He said, how does this person do it? So secretly he went to different houses of Krishna and he watched. He watched how Krishna was performing his duty as a father, you know, either playing with the children or, you know, each palace he was doing a different activity. So he showed, even with his wife, he would have exchanges, very nice exchanges. But as a householder, he showed the perfect example. And you read the story of Rukmini and Krishna. Rukmini would actually curse the cock that crowed, because as soon as the cock crowed, Krishna will be up like a shot. He would go, he would perform his morning rituals. And I was wondering, Krishna, he was praying to all the demigods. He prayed to Surya, he prayed to, you know, sun god. And he would go to the different temples. He'll get, what's his driver's name? Krishna's Daruka. Daruka will get on the chariot and take Krishna to all the different temples to offer worship. And this was his morning ritual. And Rukmini wouldn't like that idea because she wanted to have Krishna on at her side. So as a householder, he performed, you know, exemplary household duty and perfect husband. But today Prabhupada says that in Kali Yuga, if a man can maintain one wife, it's a miracle, what to speak of two or three wives, you know. And he also performed as a military man, Partha Sarathi. He's a driver for Arjuna, acts as a military man. It's explained that when Bhishma there was leaving his body, he was looking at Krishna, and he felt so much love. Because Krishna is so kind, whatever desires, whatever feelings, however we feel for him, and that form he takes to reciprocate with his devotees. So when Bhishma saw Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acting as a military man, he felt very pleased in his heart because he was a Kshatriya by nature, he was a military man. So Krishna can also act as a military man in any capacity. So the amazing thing is all these things that Krishna performs, it's only for our purification. It says, if you read about Krishna's pastimes, as it explains here, childhood pastimes, it vanquishes the contaminations of the material world. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda have enjoyed these pastimes fully, and therefore their position is always better than that of Vasudev and Devaki. So, and Parikrit Maharaj as well, he was completely shocked. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sucking on the breast of a woman. How can he be a baby sucking on the breast of a mother? So he was asking questions to Sukadev Goswami. Although he knew Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is a pastime Nityalila, and every time Krishna comes down, he comes down with them as a parent. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. But still, it was amazing for him. Even Vasudev was amazed as well when he saw the Vishnu form. So the pastimes that Krishna performs is so magnanimous that the demigods, they get bewildered. When Krishna played the part of a little boy, Lord Brahma got a bit envious. Who's this boy, you know? He wants to be the center of attraction, herding the cows, and he thinks, you know, he's someone great. So hence, he steals all the coward boys, and he hides them away for like 1 year. And Krishna showed who he really was. And then Brahma was bewildered. Krishna entered into each of the coward boys, into like Vishnu forms, and Lord Brahma was completely, you know, amazed. And Lord Indra, he sent the showers of rain. Who is this boy, you know, taking my worship away from me, you know, offering Govardhan Hill all this good foodstuff, neglecting me. So again, he sends torrents of rain. So the demigods learn big, big lessons from the Supreme Personality of God. And these are all examples for us as well in this material world to understand we are so puny that all we need to do is take shelter of the Supreme Lord. We here, at the same time, we should be like the lotus in the water, but not touched by the water. So we spirit souls, We in the material world, somehow or another, we landed ourselves here. We have to learn, it's very, very difficult, but we have to learn to detach ourselves from the activities that are going on around us that's not connected to Krishna consciousness. There's always activities there that's not connected to Krishna consciousness in this material world. So somehow or other, we should consider ourselves very, very fortunate and pray daily, pray day and night, to thank Krishna, to, you know, for being those fortunate ones. Lord Chaitanya says that one who takes to this Krishna consciousness is very, very fortunate. So, and Mother Kulangana always says, when she goes out, she makes sure she asks anyone that she meets, can you say Krishna? Even in the airport, when she goes anywhere, India, anywhere, she, can you say Krishna? And if they don't say it, then she'll say, how unfortunate you are. She says, and then when someone says Krishna, she says, my God, you are so fortunate. She always says that. And she always, and this is our business. Anywhere we go, we should always be able to carry some small book, anything we have, literature, because you don't know who we're going to meet out there. We don't know. So, and we should be appreciative of what we have. So if we're appreciative of what we have, then we'll find it easy to share it or give it to others. I don't know if this will be self-aggrandizement, but when I was in Scotland, I was spent 1 year in Scotland preaching on my own, going on book distribution. And I went to one place, one business, and this man, I was talking to this man for a long time to take a book. This was the classics that time, Bhagavan's classics, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, and he wouldn't take the book, and I preached and preached, and then he just gave me £20, and he took the book, and he put the book on his shelf. Then I went to another place, it was an Indian small retail business. I went there, he had a 12-year-old daughter, so I talked to him about Bhagavad Gita. He said, oh, I know about all these books, and, you know, I understood everything that's there. I said, this is different. This Bhagavad Gita is as it is. It's completely, there's so many Bhagavad Gitas, but this is a little different. You'll have to read this. Then he said, oh, okay. So he took the book and he put it on his shelf as well. So later I found out that, when being in Scotland a few years now, I found out that only these two shops I found out, because who knows who we getting to take up this Krishna conscious, you know, because we don't, once we give them the book, they're gone. But I found out that the man in the office that gave me £20, he left the book in his shelf, and his son one day came there and he said, Dad, what is this book on the shelf? Was, you know, quite an attractive book. So the father said, oh, this young Indian lady came here. She wouldn't leave the shop. So I just gave her a donation and I put the book there. And then he said, oh, so the son read the book and he joined the temple. After reading the book, he's, what's his name? Some Prashad. See, I can't even remember his name. He's got bad hearing problems in Scotland. What's Ram Prashad. He's Ram Prashad. He joined the temple. And then this other place that I went to, shop, this little girl, she was about 12 or 13. She's Jagannath, what's her name? Ajokshaja's wife. She was the 12, 13-year-old girl that took this Gita. When she was about 16, she was going through some difficulty, and she took this book, she started reading, and then she went to the temple and she joined. So we don't know who's joining, who's, you know, we only know the people like these two people. And yesterday I heard a brilliant story that Deva Prasta said about this Russian lady. I don't know if anyone, I'm not on Facebook or anything. He told us that it was on Facebook, that she was amazing. She was about 71 or 72 in Russia. Somehow she had the Bhagavad Gita. She read the Bhagavad Gita back to front, and she said she was so inspired by this book. She said, this is for me, this is my life story. Anyway, later she found out where the devotees were, and she went to the devotees, she stayed there, and she said, I want to sell my flat, I want to give all the money to the devotee. Then they said, okay. Then they built her annex a little bit. She stayed there for a bit. She's becoming a little eccentric with how she was living her life in the temple. Some of them said, oh, we should ask her to leave. Others said, we should let her stay. Anyway, one day she, just to cut the story short, one day she said, you know, I had a dream, I had this desire. Nrsingha Devi's asking me to go to Hauvila in India. And she and the devotees there, the authorities there, thought, oh God, not again, what is she on about? But she was so determined, this lady was so determined, he's asking me, he wants me to go there. So anyway, this devotee said, okay, he'll follow it up. So he went, and at that time, Indradyumna Maharaj with his disciple was visiting there. And then this devotee spoke to Indradyumna Swami, and then the deity there, Nrsingha Dev, only gets worshipped once a week because he's right in the jungle. People are scared to go there, so one, the pujari only goes once a week. So, but the pujari said, no, I won't even allow a woman to come and stay there. So this devotee went back, and they were meeting in Delhi for some reason. She went to India. Then this devotee said to her, look, you cannot go to Ahovla. The pujari won't allow you there, and the place is too dangerous for a lady. It's right in the jungle. She said, if you are not coming with me, I'm sorry, but I'm going anyway. So this devotee, he thought, if something happens to her, it'll be my fault, so I might as well go with her. So he went to there. They went to this place, and then this the priest, the pujari, he said, no, he was talking to the lady. He said, look, you can visit her, but you're not allowed to stay there. I'm not going to allow you. And then she started quoting from Bhagavad Gita. You know, she started quoting verses from Bhagavad Gita to this man. If someone is surrendered, how is it possible you won't allow them to worship in this? And this man, you know, was stunned that she was reciting all these verses. Then he said, okay, he took her there, and she stayed there, and she started worshipping the deity. And then in the village nearby, people got to know that this lady was staying there, and they went to visit, and they felt sorry for her. She had no water, no clothes, nothing. Then slowly, slowly, they started giving her food, clothing, shelter, and all that. And then the person in charge of the whole village, he came to know. He went there, he started building roads, and he started putting lighting and making the place look nice. And then one day this lady was bit by a cobra, snake. So apparently she went to the deity. She said, Nrsingha Dev, look, I've been bitten by a cobra. I don't know what to do now. And apparently he said, okay, you just put some charanamrita on the bite, and it will go away. So she did that, and she was healed. And while she was staying there, then lots of people started visiting, and the pujari started a daily worship. They started worshiping the deity on a daily basis, and lots of visitors were coming. So one day, she didn't turn up for a service or something, and then they went to see what was happening. And then he was shouting a name. There was no answer. And when they opened the door, she had a little form of a deity, like a doll, Krishna. And she had her hands on Krishna's feet. And she had a Bhagavad Gita under her arm. And that's how she left her body. So these things happen all the time. She left the body in Ahovla. And this happened last month, December time. So who knows how Krishna can reciprocate with his devotees. Another story, last week we went to one of our Namahata members. He was diagnosed as having cancer. He was in hospital. And he said, we haven't seen him for years, a long, long time. So his wife told Dave, another member, to see if he can find any devotees to come and visit him. He's in his last days. So they called Kripamoy, Ranshaw, you know, a few devotees. Somehow there wasn't any connection there. So Dave called me and my husband and he said, you know, Ian, he's not very well. He would love devotees to go there. So we said, okay. So we went on a Thursday and we took some Ganges water. We took neck beads. We took Bhagavad Gita. And we remembered Prabhupada saying that he told Indradumna's contact and admiral, he said he doesn't know what to read in Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada said to him, read the 9th chapter in Bhagavad Gita. Make this your chapter on a daily basis. You can read that. So we thought about that, and my husband, he read the Bhagavad Gita, you know, 9 chapter, the whole chapter he read to this person. We sprinkled some Ganges. He took his neck, my husband took his neck beads, put it on him, and then 2 days later he left his body. So we can see, you know, we don't know. And Prabhupada says, whoever thinks of me at the time of death, come to me. Well, one lady, we're listening a lot to memories now. It's so addictive, Prabhupada's memories. It's amazing. And when you look there, so many people, so many sannyasis, gurus have left the body. And it's so, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Sridhar Swami, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, all these people are giving their memories. And it's amazing, amazing memories that we're listening to now. And this lady, she wasn't a devotee. And the daughter or son went to see the mother in hospital. And she was very, very sick. So she said, so now I'm sick lying there. Where is your Krishna? When she said Krishna, she closed her eyes and left her body. So Prabhupada found this out. And he said, she's gone back home, back to Godhead. She's gone to Krishna. So this is what it is. Okay, I think it was more Sankirtan stories. Anyway, if anyone has any quick questions or comments,